and her trip and her team. Well, I want to just have a time of focused prayer before we begin this morning for a couple reasons. One, just an opportunity to focus on the Lord, focus our heart and what God may want to speak to us today, what He may want to do in and through us today. Also, if you've paid attention to the news, unfortunately, Israel became under attack yesterday, and it appears that war is imminent, and there's a lot of life and casualties that are there, and so we want to pray for those involved, those a part of that, pray for our own nation, pray for the world. Psalm 122:6 says this, says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. I'm not sure that I fully understand the ramifications of God's chosen nation of Israel, but this is what I do know, is there's no denying it as you read the scripture. And God does something unique among His people and His chosen people. And so we want to just take a moment today, pray that we may be focused, pray that we may be able to hear from the Lord and celebrate what He's doing. And then also we want to pray for the nation of Israel today and pray that God's will be done. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. God in heaven, we pray today, God, that You would do a work today that would bring You glory and honor. God, we pray that You'd help us to celebrate all that You are and all that You do in our lives. Lord Jesus, I pray You'd help us to eliminate any distractions, God, maybe that we struggling with today, and God, to focus in on You. And Lord Jesus, I pray that we would celebrate, God, the things that You celebrate and rejoice in those things. And God in heaven, I pray that Your hand of peace would be upon the nation of Israel. God, I pray that there would be peace in Jerusalem. God, that there would be peace among Your people. God, You would do a great work, God, and bring about reconciliation, bring about unity. And Lord, we ask You to do it for Your glory and for Your name's sake. Lord Jesus, we love You, we praise You, we thank You for all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, right before we sing, let me encourage you in this. And we get a chance to observe baptism today. And I'm excited about that. And us as a church family, it's an opportunity to celebrate a physical picture of what's happened spiritually to somebody. Just like with your grandkids, they go score a touchdown or they make a basket or they make a good grade. Man, we cheer. We want to celebrate what God celebrates. And that's individuals being obedient to Him. So be mindful as we get to observe a baptism today. Let's celebrate that. Let's cheer on what God is doing in somebody's life. Let's sing together.
Would you stand with us as we sing, God So Loved? Thank you.
amen. Well, I'm going to invite Nikki, and she's going to come, and she's going to read and share her story of how we got to today. And so we're going to celebrate with her what God's doing in her life.
Good morning, church family. Am I close enough?
Yeah, you're good.
I want to keep this short, but how can I when all I want to do is give thanks to God for everything He has done in my life and how grateful I am that He didn't give up on me. The way life has been before September 10th was built with a lot of ups and downs, and it started on October 2nd, 2013, when my grandpa passed away, and it changed my life. I honestly say that I was not the same, because a big piece of my heart left this world. One day my mom asked me if I wanted or needed to talk to someone about it, because she said it wasn't good for me to bottle it up, but she knew it was going to be hard on me, and not only me, but our entire family. I told her I didn't want to, but I let it go, get the best of me. I miss him so much, but one thing will remain is that he told us to always pray, and that's what I will continue to do. Then I met my husband in between all the ups and downs, and I started to see the other side. We now have a baby girl who means the world to us. We have been coming to Second Baptist for 3 years now. Then this year in February and May, I lost two of my aunties. It was like another piece of my heart got taken away. Deep down, I knew there was something in my life that was missing, but yet I was still just trying to make it one day at a time. I would sit in the pews time and time, and there were days when I felt God tug on my heart, but my feet only led me to the altar to pray about it. This past summer, my husband almost got the job he has been praying for, but it wasn't what God had planned for us. I was heartbroken to see that happen for him, but I told him that maybe our job here in Russellville isn't quite over. He wants more from us. About a month or so ago, my mother gave me and my sister a book to help us study the Bible alongside her journey to grow in her relationship with God. At the start of the book, there was a few things it wanted us to write down, and one question was, when did I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior? I read that sentence over and over, and then I felt the tears roll down, and my heart started racing. I had no clue what to write down. Little did I know that this would be a part of my journey. That is when I knew that God was reaching out, waiting for me to come to Him and say, yes, be the boss of my life. On September 10th, at invitation, I received Christ as my Lord and Savior. At that moment, I felt a weight lift off my shoulders. I know God sent His own, one and only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for my sins. Like me, it's never too late. No matter what you're going through, He can save you too. I want to thank my husband, who has been alongside me and constantly praying over me. My mom and my sister, who consistently encourage me, knowing that each day the devil will try to bring me down. This list could go on. But lastly, thank you, Second Baptist Church, for welcoming me and my family with open arms.
Amen. Amen. Nikki, it's my understanding that you've asked Jesus to be Lord and boss and master of your life. Is that right?
Yes.
Upon that profession of faith, my sister, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We're buried with Him through baptism into death and raised to walk the newness of life. Man. If that doesn't encourage your heart, I don't know what will this morning. And we're singing about from graves into gardens. We're singing about going from death to life at the moment of salvation. Nikki didn't go from death to life today. That happened a few weeks ago. But today demonstrated what happened in her heart and life. Let's stand and sing today like we actually believe salvation takes you from death to life.
Thank you.
and His goodness, no matter how far we run away from Him, He still pursues us, amen. And His goodness, it'll continue to chase after us. Sing with us about the goodness of God.
Amen. If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, would you turn to the book of Matthew in chapter 26? Matthew chapter 26. We have a longer passage this morning. Normally you get to this point and in a minute I ask you to stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God, but I'm going to let you remain in a seat of honor this morning as I'm going to read a longer passage. And so it's all right. We don't do things just out of tradition and the sake of always doing them. It's okay to change it up and do things a little bit differently. And so this morning we're going to remain seated as I read the text of the Word of God for our message this morning in just a minute, but we are taking a break for just a moment away from the Gospel of John. We will return there, but just really felt led of the Lord that we would observe the Lord's Supper this morning, and so I'm excited to do that. Our deacons will come at the end of service and help lead us in that, and then two that we have voted on to hopefully, maybe Lord willing, next month we'll be able to have an ordination service and be able to ordain these other two men that will help us this morning. And so I'm excited about that this morning and observing the Lord's Supper. And usually I spend time talking about it, but I don't always preach on the Lord's Supper. This morning I want to do just that. I want to preach on the Lord's Supper. So we're going to focus on the sacrificial supper, the sacrifice that Jesus makes, and correlate it to some history from the Old Testament. Why was it done, when it was done, and how it relates to us here and now. And so with that, I'm going to read Matthew chapter 26. I'm going to begin in verse 1 and read all the way through verse 30. So I hope you'll follow along with me. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, that he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Then the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the place of the high priest, who is called Caiaphas, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and killed him. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. And when Jesus in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when he saw it, they were indignant, saying, 'Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor.' But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, 'Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, that what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her.'" Verse 14. "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, 'What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?' And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Now on the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, 'Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?' And he said, 'Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, the time is at hand, I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, 'Surely I say to you, one of you will betray me.' And when they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to them, 'Lord, is it I?' He answered and said, 'He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Rabbi, is it I?" And he said to him, "You have said it." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my body of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the wine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your grace and mercy. God in heaven, I pray that God, you would speak to us through your word this morning. God, I pray you'd hide me behind your cross. Fill me with your spirit. Give me the words to preach. Nothing more and nothing less. I pray that all that we say and do this morning would exalt the name of Jesus. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you're taking notes this morning, the main idea of the text is this, is the Lord's Supper reminds us of the sacrifice of Jesus. This morning, as we partake of this, it ought to remind us of the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf. The question then this morning is, have you accepted the sacrifice that Jesus has made on your behalf? This is an opportunity to reflect on our decision. We heard this morning from Nick Izzy. She shared her testimony about her surrendering to the Lord Jesus and even an appeal to you that you too can be saved. And so as we take of the Lord's Supper, that ought to serve as a reminder to us. And so we're going to walk through this. I'm going to point out three important ideas from our text this morning. Normally, you know, I walk through the text and maybe we take a lot of phrases or verse by verse, and we're not necessarily doing that this morning. We're painting with broader strokes, but there's some key ideas I want us to take away from learning about the Lord's Supper and how it is a sacrifice for us. And so number one, I want you to see this. The sacrifice of Jesus reminds us of the Passover. It reminds us of the Passover. Look at verses 1 and 2. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings that he said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the Passover and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Jesus observed the Lord's Supper here with his disciples. We're going to see in a moment during that time of the Passover. And it's with purpose and intentionality that Jesus pick that specific time in which he would observe the Lord's Supper and then he would immediately go and be crucified. It's not by accident that that timing happened. For those of you who may not be aware, the Passover is an annual time in which the Jews would observe as they remembered the deliverance of God's people out of the slavery of Egypt as God used Moses and Aaron to deliver them out of that bondage. The 10th plague, they went through several plagues, and the 10th of them being God would send a plague and Pharaoh's heart would seem to soften a little bit and he would say, okay, you can go. And then before they were able to leave, he would get mad again. His heart would harden is what the word of God says, and he wouldn't let them go. And he kept making the bondage, the slavery, the demands that they were under worse and worse, and the conditions got worse and worse until finally the 10th plague was the death angel passing over the land of Egypt. And way that God would distinguish between the Egyptians and the people of God is that God told Moses to tell the people, go sacrifice a lamb and take the blood and put it over your doorpost. Put it over the door to your house. And then when the death angel would pass over the land of Egypt, if he saw the blood applied, hello, if he saw the blood applied, he would pass over the house. And so all the children of Israel followed the people of God, followed the command that God had given. They had applied the blood to their house, but the Egyptians did not do that. And so many of them woke up in the middle of the night and the firstborn in the house all over the land of Egypt was dead because the death angel had passed over the land of Egypt. And so then God commanded them that every year they would observe this time, they would observe it, and they would call it the Passover. And they would sacrifice a lamb because blood had to be shed to appease the wrath. And so as we look at this, Jesus does not accidentally stumble into Jerusalem at the time where they're getting ready to observe the Passover. He comes into Jerusalem because what Jesus is making clear to the Jews and to all of us today is that they had to observe the Passover year after year after year because the blood of a lamb or a bull or a goat or whatever it was insufficient to appease the wrath of God. But there's no longer need to observe the Passover today because there has been a lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Thank you, Jesus. And the blood has been applied, and now as we pass over, we're recognized we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise under the protection of God Almighty because of the salvation in which He has brought. Man, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, man, I'm telling you, we are reminded of the sacrifice of Jesus because it points to the Passover, that all those years observing the Passover that Jesus leads these men, these followers, knowing full well what the Passover meant. And they go into the upper room and they observe the Lord's Supper. And these followers of Jesus, unfortunately, were fairly oblivious to what was about to take place. But Jesus knew full well, once they would get past the resurrection, they would look back and go, oh man. It'd be a moment of enlightenment where they would look back and go, that's what He was doing. And so today, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, and you and I, we take unleavened bread, and we take grape juice this morning, and we partake of those. One representing the body that was broken for us. Another representing the blood of Jesus. There's nothing special about them. There's nothing that happens once we take them in our body. But it is a very significant moment in which we remember exactly what Jesus did. And you think back to that Passover of the death angel passing over and looking and seeing the blood of Jesus applied to the doorpost. And for every person who has surrendered their heart and life to Jesus, there's the blood applied to the doorpost, to the mantle of our life. See, this morning, there was no blood applied in the baptistry. There was no washing away in that water. But a few weeks ago, when Nikki walked the aisle and said, Brother Chris, I'm sick of wrestling. I'm tired. I want to give my life to Jesus. And she knelt right here and surrendered her heart and life to Jesus. It was at that moment that the God of all creation heard that prayer and applied the blood of Jesus for salvation. Exodus 21 or 12, 21 through 23 is the institution of this. It says, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. For the day will pass through to strike the Egyptians. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when He sees the blood on the lintel and on the doorpost, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. And then we're reminded of this in 1 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8. It says, your glorying is not good. Do you know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you are truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Why is he talking about unleavened? Because leaven represented sin in the Word of God throughout the Old Testament. That if there was leaven, it was a picture of sin. And so the Scripture says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. That it doesn't take much to change that dynamic of the bread or the dough that is there. And dear friend, what he's saying is, the illustration is this, is that if we partake of the Lord's Supper, we partake of unleavened bread because Jesus was without sin. It is important for us to maintain that as a part of the observance of the Lord's Supper this morning. And so, because hopefully, Lord willing, for all of us, we've surrendered our heart life to Jesus, the blood has been applied, but then we walk clean and close to the Lord. We're going to talk about being ready to take up the Lord's Supper. But here, Paul writes and says, Christ was our Passover. He was our Lamb, sacrificed before the foundation of the world. And so, number one, the sacrifice of Jesus reminds us of the Passover. Number two, the sacrifice of Jesus took preparation. As you could imagine, the Passover each year, for the people of God to gather together and to observe this year after year, it took a lot of preparation. Took a lot of planning. There was a specific order and plan in which everything had to be done. And the same is true for even Jesus as he is fulfilling this. Look at verses 6 and 7. And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. Other accounts of this said poured it on her feet. And most commentators believe that she just anointed his whole body. She just poured out all that she had. And there's a whole sermon there. She poured out what she had to be a blessing, to anoint Jesus. It was customary for there to be some sort of fragrant oils. A guest came in, especially as you want to recognize them and you want to show them a place of honor and a position of honor. This was customary. But all the folks sitting around, all the religious types and all the folks looking around going, man, what is she doing? She's crazy to pour that expensive oil, the whole body the whole bottle on the body of Jesus and anoint him. Why in the world would she do that? They're thinking, man, we could go pay this debt off. We could go help these people. And it sounded really spiritual, but Jesus condemns them and saying, you had those opportunities long, but what they did not realize is they would not have many of those opportunities left with Jesus. But even bigger than that, what was happening is that this was a stage of preparation for Jesus to be sacrificed. Because it's not just that it was customary for a guest to come in, a special guest, and there would be some sort of anointing with oil, some sort of fragrance given. But when somebody died, they would take some of the special perfumes and oils and things and go and treat that body and take care of that body as one that is loved. What's happening here is that she doesn't even fully realize what's planning and taking place. But what Jesus knows as he is getting ready to fulfill the true Passover lamb, he knows his death is coming. And even beforehand, there's a preparation of his body. There's a getting ready of this. Matter of fact, you can even see this in verses 12 and 13. I don't have that on the screen this morning, I don't think. But verse 12, he says, for in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. There's the preparation. John 12:3 says that Mary took a pound of very costly oil, spikenard, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Dear friend, all I'm trying to communicate right here this morning is that this didn't just happen by accident. Jesus knew full well there were times throughout the gospel where they would write that he must go. He needs to get to Jerusalem. Why did he have to get there? He had to get there in time for the observance of the Passover, because he knew he was the fulfillment and there was going to be some preparation for that. And all that communicates to us is that everything about the life and ministry of Jesus, watch this, was looking to the cross. And now listen carefully. If he's looking to the cross, it's not because he was excited about experiencing the full wrath of God. It's because Jesus loved you that much. He knew the only hope of your redemption would be the cross that was to come. And so as we observe the Lord's Supper, I want you to be reminded about Jesus as the fulfillment of the Passover. Not only that, I hope you see that this took preparation. There was a readiness about this. There's not a stumbling to this. It was careful. It was planned. It was laid out. And then number three, the sacrifice of Jesus reminds us of the propitiation. That is the offering. The offering that Jesus supplies. And we've already talked about this a little bit this morning, but we're going to skip on ahead down to verse 26 through 28. The Word of God says this, says that as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood," look at this, "of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remissions of sin. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of this vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." What's happening here is that Jesus is instituting the Lord's Supper that the disciples, the local churches would later carry out, that you and I will observe today. And what Jesus is saying as you take of the bread and the cup, you take of the elements today, it is a reminder that Jesus is going there as an offering. He is going there as the propitiation, meaning the sacrifice that it takes for you to experience forgiveness in Jesus. Sometimes we treat our sin flippantly. Sometimes we talk about forgiveness very flippantly. But dear friend, if there's anybody this morning under the sound of my voice that has experienced any forgiveness from the God of all creation, it took the holy, spotless sacrifice of Jesus to forgive one sin in your life. It took the shed blood on the cross for you to experience forgiveness from a holy God for one lie. And friend, I love you in Jesus' name. I've been around most of you at least enough to know we got more than one lie we need forgiveness for. And so we've got to be reminded this morning as you take of these elements that Jesus is our propitiation. He's our offering. John writes about this in 1 John. And it says, He Himself. We skip over small words sometimes, but this is important. He Himself. Jesus Himself. He didn't send anybody else to do the job. He didn't delegate it. Partly because it couldn't be delegated. But God saw this problem of our need of reconciliation and forgiveness and saw, man, there's nobody else for the job. Nobody else can do it. And so John says He Himself is the propitiation, the offering for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Dear friend, Jesus died for your sins. And He died for the sins of the world. Yesterday, I went to Monticello, and it was Acts 1 day, and about 1,400 Arkansas Baptists from around the state gathered into Monticello. And there were some 150 sites, ministry sites. Some were car washes, some were door-to-door, some were prayer walking, some were going to senior adults, some went to the prison, some went to different places to share the gospel of Jesus. Man, it was incredible. You ready for this? An early report is there were 331 people who said that they prayed to receive Christ yesterday. Amen. Amen. Man, as awesome as the day was, I had a conversation with somebody that just grieved my heart. There were some BCMs that came together. And one BCM was from Pine Bluff. And they were talking about, man, what a great job he was doing and he wanted to go around to some different churches. And this associational missionary started telling me how racist some of these churches were. Because the BCM director is a black guy with a black family and reaching a lot of African-American students. And how he was wanting to go to some different churches. The associational missionary were essentially saying, they were telling me about one story that this church, well, this gathering of people, they're not a church. This gathering of people said if we had any African-American folks show up, we just wouldn't have church that day. I told that associational missionary that if I were him, I wouldn't dare want to go to that church either. Because you can be sure of this, God's not within 100 miles of that place. The Bible says this, says anybody says, I love God whom they have not seen, and hate their brother whom they have seen, is a liar and the truth is not in them. You know what that means? It means they're lost. And any church that believes that baloney, any church that holds to that, God's not within 100 miles of there, and it's not a church, it's a gathering of a cult. And that's not the God that we serve. That's not the God of the Bible. Because the God of the Bible says this, says He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for those of the whole world. Red, yellow, black, and white. Every single person ever born is an image bearer of God. Every one is a representative of God. They are created in the image of God. And dear friend, you and I better go high and low, short and long, abroad and near, and tell every man, woman, boy, and girl about the hope of Jesus, because He is our propitiation. Folks who believe that have a long, hot eternity if they don't repent and get saved. Romans 3:25 says, who God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness. Because in His forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. There's the forgiveness of God. And to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. This is the beauty, because as the Passover, as the application of the blood, you and I stand guilty before Almighty God, then there has to be a reconciliation for that. Jesus steps in, applies the blood, experiences forgiveness. And so Jesus is standing there as both judge and jury. He is there as the just and the justifier. He is there going, you stand guilty, but I stand next to you as I have forgiven you, because Jesus is our propitiation. And so as we take of the Lord's Supper, I hope it reminds you this Passover, that Jesus is the perfect sacrifice fulfilling the Passover. And that it took preparation. It didn't happen by accident. And then, dear friend, every single person in this room, Jesus has come to die on the cross to offer Himself as a sacrifice for you. And man, what a better day. If you've never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, if you've never asked Jesus to forgive you and be the boss and master of your life, if you've never surrendered your heart and life to this God of all creation, man, won't you do it today? Won't you surrender everything to Him today? We're going to take of the Lord's Supper here in a few minutes. But before that, we're going to have a time of response, time of invitation. I can't imagine hearing this message and not giving you a chance to go, Pastor, that's what I need. I need to be saved today. I walked in, just come to check a box. Hey, I went to church. I walked in because I came with a friend. I walked in because of this or that. Or maybe you have a testimony like you heard this morning. There were some spiritual things in your background. There's some spiritual moments in your life, people that made influence. But could you write down, if somebody handed you a piece of paper and said, when did you give your life to Jesus as Lord, boss, master, and savior of your life, would you have an answer? Maybe you're like Nikki going, man, just captivated by that question and going, I don't have an answer. the greatest decision you'll ever make is to give your heart and life to Jesus. And if you've never done it, do it today. Here in just a moment, I'm going to lead you in what we call the sinner's prayer. But let me encourage you in this. It's not just about repeating words. But my hope and prayers, there's some of you sitting there going, man, I've got conviction on me. I'm miserable. I know, Pastor, I need to be saved. Then when we pray in a moment, you pray with every fiber of your being for God to save you and be the boss and master of your life. Because the Word of God says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I hope you'll call out to Him, ask Him to save you and be the boss and master of your life. Don't wait. Some of you know Christ. But man, maybe there's some things, there's some pet sins, there's some things that have snuck into your life that you need to confess before the Lord. We're going to have a time of invitation. Some of you are going to come and get on the altar and just confess those things. As we get ready to take up the Lord's Supper, we need to be clean and close to Him. I want to encourage you to take our invitation time to do that. But those of you that don't know Christ, I'll lead you in a sinner's prayer, and we're going to have a time of response. And I'm begging you this morning, encouraging you, you pray and ask Jesus to save you during the time of response. Somebody next to you, man, slide out, come, say, Pastor Chris, I pray and ask God to save me today. I meant it with all my heart. Maybe you've got questions, whatever it is. And some of us believers need to be on the altar because there's some things here, but we also need to get out of the way so some folks can do business with God. Man, and this is an important time. Let's pray. Jesus, you're good. And there's none like you. I pray in this moment, God, for those that maybe don't know you, God, I pray you would save them. Give them grace right now to call out on you for salvation. And if that's you this morning, you pray something like this. Say, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come to my heart. Wash away my sins. Be the boss of my life. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do, and I'll be what you want me to be. I give my life to you. I pray in Jesus' name. With head bowed, eyes closed, nobody else looking around. If you'd say, Pastor Chris, I prayed that, and I meant it with all of my heart, and I'm not ashamed. I want you to look right up here at me right now. You prayed that and meant it with all your heart. Look right here. Say, Pastor Chris, I prayed that. Amen. 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 Anybody else say, Pastor Chris, I prayed and asked Jesus to save me today, and I'm not ashamed. Look right up here at me. Here's what we're going to do. Some of you looked at me. Some of you may be still dealing with it and have questions. I'm going to pray, and when I finish praying, man, some of you believers need to get ready for taking the Lord's Supper. You need to come get on this altar. Some of you prayed to receive Christ. You need to come, and man, you need to beat me down here. Say, Pastor Chris, I asked Jesus to save me today. Some of you have questions or need prayer. You come. When I finish praying, you move. Jesus, we thank you for today. God, I pray that in this moment we would not be ashamed. We wouldn't let the enemy have any victory in this moment, but God, you have victory. You have liberty to move. God, I pray we'd respond to you in obedience. Those that surrendered you to you for salvation, I pray they'd come. Those that have questions, I pray they come. Those believers got things in their life they need to deal with, I pray that they would come. God, help us to respond to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Your main attitude prayer. If God spoke to your heart this morning, you come now. Come on. Words fall short.
got just one move with my arms stretched wide. I will worship you. So I throw my hands and praise you again and again. It's all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I've nothing else fit for the King, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy of me, lift up your song. Got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy of me. Lift up your song. You got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul. Got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much,
be seated. To be honest with you, sometimes just want to pause these moments because these moments where it's evident that the presence of God is there. You just want to soak those up and enjoy that and sit and just know that He is God. And I'm grateful that the Lord has met with us today. I want to this morning lead us in observing the Lord's Supper. And just as a reminder, this morning as we take of the Lord's Supper, the Scripture's clear on some things and who the Lord's Supper is for, okay? And so, I just want to, share with you a couple things. The Lord's Supper is, first of all, for those who know Christ, those who have surrendered to Him for salvation. This is for believers, okay? And so, parents and moms, dads, grandmas, and grandpas, I know that's sometimes hard because maybe we have children that hadn't gotten to that point of understanding. Let me encourage you in this way. This is a great opportunity to talk about it. It's a great opportunity to go, hey, the Lord's entrusted those kids to you. And just trusting Him in that and going, hey, not quite ready yet. And so it's an opportunity for you to talk about that, even on the way home, about what this is, what it means, and that it's for believers because it's recognizing what Jesus has done for us. Okay, so it's for believers. It's for those that, man, follow the Lord in baptism. Because it's for believers who are walking with Him and obedient believers. And to be honest with you, there's no such thing really as a believer who's obedient who hasn't followed the Lord in baptism. Because baptism is a scriptural command. And so we need to have trusted Christ for salvation and then have been baptized. And so I want to encourage you in that. Now at our church, we don't require you to have to be a member of our church to take of the Lord's Supper this morning. But we do believe it's important that you're a member of a church somewhere of like faith and order. And so believing the same things about salvation and that sort of thing. And so as we take of the Lord's Supper, those are important in that you're fessed up, clean before the Lord. 1 Corinthians, Paul condemns the Corinthian church because there were some taking of the Lord's Supper, what he says, in an unworthy manner. There was some evident sin in their life, things going on in their life that wasn't right. And they weren't willing to confess that. Now, here's the thing. That we realize none of us this morning are perfect. But the difference is, if you've confessed known sin in your life to the Lord Jesus and trying to walk with Him, or is there some sin in your life you're just not willing to let go of and you're living in sin, you know you are, and you're not confessing it, then I would encourage you to not take of the Lord's Supper. We don't like to talk about this, but 1 Corinthians, Paul condemns it in such a way. Matter of fact, Paul says there's some believers among you that are dead. He says sleep. It's a New Testament picture of death. He said there's some of you among you that are dead because you took of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. They would come together to get drunk and to, man, just eat. It was like another party and just another time get together. And so he warns them of that. As the shepherd of this church standing before you is representing the Word of God this morning as I speak to you, I've got to share those things with you because I want you to take of the Lord's Supper in a way that's honoring and glorifying to the Lord. And so it may be that some this morning going, hey, I'm just not ready. And so I would encourage you as one of the plate comes by you this morning, we're going back to old school, if you will, and just observing the Lord's Supper as we pass the plates this morning. And you may say, hey, I'm just not ready, and let the plate pass on by you. I can't get that out. So y'all know what I mean when I say that. So we'll take of that this morning. So I'm going to invite our deacons and Jason and Tyler to come and join me this morning. They're going to help us as we pass out the Lord's Supper. And so I'm grateful for these men, and we're going to take of this. We're going to pray, and then we'll pass out the bread first, and then we will come back and we'll pass out. We'll pray and take of the bread. And then we will pass the cup, we'll pray over that and take of that, and then we'll finish in song, okay? So let me pray, and then they will begin to pass the bread. God in heaven, I thank you for today, and I pray as we take of the Lord's Supper this morning, that God, it would glorify you. Lord, help us to be ready, help us to honor you during this time, and we pray and ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you." Let me pray and ask God to bless the taking of the bread. Jesus, thank you for the sacrifice that you made through your son Jesus. God, thank you for the body. I pray you bless the taking of this bread. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, God, I pray that you would bless this as we partake. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 26 and verse 30 said that as they left, they went out singing. And As I looked at that, the customary practice for the singing of the time of Passover when they left was the Hallel, which ended with Psalm 118. And I've never looked this up. I've never paid attention to this. But the end of Psalm 118, near the end, this is what the Word of God says, and this is what they sing. It says, "I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." That's talking about Jesus. "This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." Listen to this. "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Now think about this. They celebrated the Lord's Supper. Jesus is headed to the cross. They gather together and they said, "Today is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and glad." Listen, the Word of God says the God of all creation looked on His Son. It pleased the Father to bruise His Son. Why? Because He looked at the cross and He saw your forgiveness. He saw your redemption. He saw your salvation. Let's stand together. We're going to sing, "There is a fountain," because there's forgiveness in the blood of Jesus. Amen. Remain standing. I'm going to let our men go and help take up the offering as we leave today. Just a few final comments before we're dismissed. Thank you so much for being here. Let me encourage you in this way. If you've surrendered your heart and life to Jesus today or recently, man, it's important to share that. And so I want to encourage you. Many of you have my number. Man, text me. Send me a message on social media. Get on our website. Send me an email. Catch me afterwards. We want to talk to you about what it means in the next steps. Maybe you've been saved and you need to be baptized. Man, it's been good what God has been doing in our church. Amen? And so grateful for that. As we leave today, we have an opportunity to continue. Offering a time of giving is a time of worship. And so as we leave today, it's an opportunity for us to continue worship and to give as we leave. And so grateful for your faithfulness to give and rejoice in what God is doing. And so let me pray for us, and we will be dismissed. Thank you so much. Jesus, you're good, and there's none like you. Thank you, Jesus, that we have forgiveness in you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that your blood will never lose its power. And so, God, I pray that as we leave today, God, you would give us boldness to proclaim the gospel of Jesus to the whole world. God, I pray that, God, you would help us to give in a way that pleases you. Lord, help us to honor you in all that we say and do, and help us to be a witness for you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.